Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of November 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Look at the agricultural cash grain market with the folks up at the Anderson's facility in Logansport, Indiana. And hear about the agricultural weather forecast from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, Dave Dickey will look at the news, and he'll have some information about bison and bison meat and the markets that have been developing in the United States. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
On this Wednesday afternoon, let's check in the Chicago CME Group numbers. Nearby December soft red winter wheat at $8.48¾ on its settlement price, down 2¼ today. The March contract at $8.64, settlement down 1¢ in July futures. That's the harvest month, up 2¾ at $8.58¾. The hard red in Kansas City traded 0.75¢ lower on its settlement, just below $9 at $8.99¾. December corn futures, $7.25¾, a settlement price up 2¼. The March at $7.29¼, up 3 in the May at $7.25, 2½ higher. July $7.13½, up 2. And September corn of next year down 3¢, $6.29½ on its settlement. December futures, $6.08½. That's your new crop. Settlement price 2¾ lower. November beans, $14.32¾, up 5¾. January futures at $14.16½, 8½ cents higher in the March contract. And these are closes at $13.96, up 10¼ in the bean pit. The May at $13.76, up 3½. And July $13.64½, up $0.01½. Next year's November beans down 5¢ on a close at $12.77. Bean meal futures for the day at $4.36, up $2.90. Bean oil at $47.65, 63 higher. Live cattle futures finished up the February contract at $129.12½. That's 67½ cents lower. April at $133.10, down 57½. The January feeders at $144.87½, down $1.27½. And March at $147.35, down 97½. Lean hogs, February, $86.05, 80 cents lower. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $86.26 a barrel, up 88 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.68¼. That's 0.3 cents higher, rather 3 cents higher. And the ethanol at $2.34¼. And it is a 0.5 cent higher. The difference between the RBOB and the ethanol is now at a 34¾ cent spread. That's 2½ cents wider than it was yesterday. December contract at $3.76¼, up 2½ cents in the natural gas and heating oil for the day at $2.98¹, up 2¢ cents. Gold futures on the afternoon, $5.30 higher at $1,730.10 an ounce, and the dollar trading 0.03 lower at 81.06. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Yet this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, a high near 45 degrees on an east-southeast wind at about 5 miles per hour for the afternoon. And then this evening, partly cloudy and a low of 27. An east-southeast wind will continue at 3 to 5. Partly sunny tomorrow, a high of 48. Partly cloudy tomorrow evening at a low of 32 and light and variable winds. Sunny on Friday with a 52-degree high. And Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 31. Saturday, sunny skies and 53. Saturday evening, mostly clear and 32. Sunday, sunny skies, 52 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 35. Monday, mostly sunny skies and 52. And Monday evening, cloudy and 40 degrees. By the time we get to Tuesday of next week, mostly cloudy skies and a high near 53. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, you can always find us online at willag.org.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's the 14th day of November. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson. She's right here in Champaign County to look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's been an interesting couple of weeks and a reminder, I suppose, to farmers that drought years do finish up with lower numbers in the bins, both for grain and for prices. And I suppose it's made you ponder just exactly what producers ought to do with next year's crop maybe at this time.
Well, you know, in the past few weeks, we've been talking quite a bit about covering new crop, you know, and using option strategies to do it, primarily because none of us know if this drought is over or where we're going. And today I had a phone call in from a fellow who was listening this morning in Indiana, and he brought up a very good point. And I'll be honest, I'm embarrassed I hadn't thought about it before, but he said, why wouldn't we be doing that to use, you know, to protect our February insurance price? And, you know, last year we bought 670s and basically just looked at them as if we were protecting unsold bushel prices. But the reality is you could certainly do that. And why would a person even want to consider doing something like that? You'd need to, I would suggest you have to buy an in-the-money put and use a strategy with an in-the-money put both on corn and beans. Certainly not as good a prices as we could have gotten last week at this time. But, you know, we may not have seen the highest number of acres for corn just yet. Or for beans. That's the one thing we don't know. Although I have to say, over the last 6 weeks, we've heard everything from I'm not planting corn on corn anymore, I'm not planting corn on corn anymore, and now we're starting to hear I'm probably going to plant corn on corn again. So nobody knows what that number is going to be. We're going to see the funds doing an awful lot of year-end reallocation, and some of what was going on this week, of course, was traditional fund action. The weather. Will we get a lot of rain and snow and help us end the drought? Won't we get a lot of rain and snow? We don't know. And by the time we do know, the prices may be significantly lower. And you know, you can take this into, because you're using December 13 and November 13 options, it gives you a lot of time to be able to look at what the market wants to do, and it gives you flexibility to be able to make those changes. And I think, you know, everybody needs to be thinking about that, because we had the opportunity to cover 660. And where are we right now? You know, We're back down. We made it back to, 608 and a quarter. That's where we ended the day today. And so it's just something that I believe you have to be proactive about, and you have to back it up with another strategy if the weather does not provide an end to the drought.
And so the drought is looming as, continued drought is looming as one fundamental in the marketplace. The other side is a normal growing season.
There's no question. And as risk managers, and I'm not just talking about myself being a risk manager, I'm talking about every producer and every end user out there, you have to make the assumption that on the producer side that we're going to have normal weather, that we may lose export business. You've got to protect yourself. And on the end user side, you have to look at it just the opposite and say, you know, what do I do if this drought does continue, if China's demand for beans continues, if what they're thinking right now, meaning that the Asian corn demand will probably begin to pick up, especially at these prices, what might that do to my business? So I think that you always have to approach it from that and then have some type of strategy. That's why I'm not actively using futures, because futures are great if you feel confident that you're going to hold these levels or go lower, but they're really not great sometimes if you're going to get a big move up or have a potential for a big move up in the market.
Export demand has been good for soybeans through the beginning part of the marketing year. It slowed for a bit, but it appears China has been back in the marketplace, not only for soybeans, but for corn in the recent weeks.
That's right. They picked up 120 million metric tons today on beans. They also bought, we also sold soy oil to Unknown, and in most cases, Unknown is turned over and becomes China after a while. And yes, they are very, very quietly buying corn. You know, they understand the impact that they have on this market, but they've been there, and they continue to be there. And I don't see them going away. In fact, when you look at the beans, there's a pretty good consensus in the background saying right now that they haven't got enough bought yet for the December through February time frame. And, you know, that's the time frame. We know that South America is pretty much out of beans. So that's a big time frame for us. And, you know, the other side, Todd, on the bean situation is that there's talk in Washington about giving a retroactive credit to biodiesel producers. I don't quite understand, with as tight as our bean stocks are, that they might do this to encourage use of more beans, but that's what they're talking about doing. So there's a lot of supportive information out there. And corn, same thing with corn. In fact, on the corn side of things, we've been kind of quiet. You know, we've been somewhat trading a range, and I think we'll do that. We have option expiration this next week, but the fundamentals certainly support a strong old crop, not necessarily a new crop, but a strong old crop.
Back to the bean market. Despite those fundamentals, we're $3 off the top in the November contract, or just about at this point. So we've fallen a long way since that was put in back in, what, September?
Right. Yes, and you know, when it comes to the beans, if you just look at the marketplace over what we've done in the last 2 weeks, you know, not this week. Well, this week was bad enough; we're down 19 cents. But the week before, down 75. The week before that, down 34. It doesn't take very much to take it out, and all of it is a result of a number of things. You know, they had built into the market, and I think this is good for producers to think about. The trade had already built in that we were going to have a lower yield. Well, then we came back and we found out we had a better yield than what we expected, and producers will back that up because they have been telling us that all the time now lately. This is much better than I thought it was going to be. And so that came out of the market. Then we had South American weather problems, and the South American weather problems have kind of straightened themselves out. That came out of the market. So I think it's a good lesson and to realize that so much of that has been built in advance before the realities actually come around. And when they do come around, that's why you can take $3 off the market in absolutely no time at all, it seems like.
You want to take up the livestock market, not just as input prices, but the livestock market in general, and what producers there are feeling. Are they feeling a little better about the prices of their inputs at this point? Does it give them an opportunity to lock in a profit at all?
Well, they do. I one thing that I've seen in the livestock end, and we've got a lot of people out in the Kansas, Nebraska area that raise livestock. Years ago, they used to go out and buy feeder cattle and then call up and say, what can we do? Today, what they do is they actually call you ahead of time and say, can you pencil this for me? And we developed a more customized type of cattle crush. And basically, we're starting to see better returns. But what they're doing is they're covering themselves. You know, the cattle crush itself is it covers buying the feeder cattle, it covers buying corn and a corn equivalent, and then selling the live cattle at that time to try and lock a price in. And that's what we're seeing a lot more of than what we ever used to. On the hog side of things, it's a little more tough because so much of the hog market is actually integrated, you know, and heavily controlled by large entities. So some of your independents, you know, we still do a lot with some of the independents, but it's getting to be tougher and tougher for them to really, when you have $9 or $10 basis levels at times, it's really hard. But on the livestock side, yeah, they're feeling better right at the moment, but, you know, they're being proactive. We have a lot of cattle covered already in the February, April, and June time frame.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you, Todd.
That is Jackie Vegg. She's with Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. You can always hear her again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. Just a couple of moments. Dave Dickey will be here to take a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
In agricultural news, a congressional advisory panel today urged tighter screening of investment by Chinese state-owned companies in the U.S., saying they present unfair competition to American firms. That's the primary recommendation of an annual report by the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has missed the deadline on making a decision about waiving the renewable fuels standard, but will make a decision shortly. The 90-day deadline ended Monday for EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson to respond to petitions to waive the RFS for 2012 and 2013. An EPA spokesperson said the agency is still working on the waiver requests from the governors of Arkansas and North Carolina. Under a petition process, the EPA administrator can waive the RFS for a given year. If a waiver is granted, all fuel suppliers would see their requirements lowered. Indiana-based ethanol producer New Energy Corporation has filed for bankruptcy to sell its 70-acre plant outside South Bend. New Energy placed its operations in bankruptcy as part of the sale demanded by its top lender, the U.S. Department of Energy, which is owed $33.3 million on a loan that it first extended in 1997. Ukraine has completed planting winter grains for the 2013 harvest, with 8.1 million hectares planted, the same area as a year ago. The total planted area includes 6.7 million hectares of wheat, 1.1 million hectares of barley, and 306,000 hectares of rye. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
That's your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. He was at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention last week, where he caught up with David Carter, the Executive Director of the National Bison Association. The bison market, of course, is becoming an established part of the agriculture sector. USDA even publishes monthly wholesale prices for the bison market.
How many serious bison ranchers are there across the United States?
There are about 2,000 bison ranchers that are serious, you know, have herds more than just one or two. Right now, our herds in the U.S., according to the census the last time around from USDA, we have about 200,000 head of bison back out on the land, which is a remarkable recovery for an animal that was almost on the brink of extinction 120 years ago.
What are the steps for someone who is interested in becoming a bison rancher?
Well, the first thing to do is get a hold of the National Bison Association. Our website is bisoncentral.com. And what we'll do is we'll put you in touch with somebody that's already in the business. One of the great things about the bison business is that those producers that are in the business really love to reach out and help others get on board. They'd love to have somebody come out. They'll show you how they put together their herd, how they put together their facilities, how they handle their animals. But we also have a lot of resources available through the National Bison Association. We have the Bison Producers Handbook that was put together by about 30 producers from around the country, that everything from picking out the right animal to selling the meat. We have a brand new DVD that just came out 2 weeks ago that we spent several months filming bison operations around the country. And this is about 40 minutes, 5-minute segments, again, everything from buying the right animal to marketing the meat. But you can really look and see, you know, how it's done. But, you know, this is an entrepreneurial business. People are coming in a lot. A lot of producers in the buffalo business have not been in it. They're newcomers, and we all recognize that, and we want to help them get involved.
What kind of return can one expect on doing this sort of work?
Well, there are a number of things that we call the bison advantage, and one of those is the profitability right now. The benchmark in our business is a 2-year-old bull. Yeah, we don't castrate them. We don't steer them. Mother Nature's done a good job with them. We don't tinker with them. So you take a 2-year-old bull in, right now, according to the USDA, the carcass price that you get paid on, about a 600-pound carcass is $3.92 a pound right now for bulls, about $3.90 a pound for heifers. So it's very profitable. But the other things that we describe as the bison advantage is that they're a low-maintenance animal. Now, in terms of calving, you won't get your first calf until that bison is 3 years old, but you get about twice as many calves out of that cow over the course of her life because she's a long-lived animal. But also, when you get one of those blizzards that likes to come through our part of the country this time of year, you know, if you're in the cattle business, you better be up first thing in the morning getting some feed out to your herds. If you're in the bison business, you get to sit inside and enjoy some coffee because there isn't anything Mother Nature's going to throw at these critters that they haven't seen over the last 10,000 years. And the same way during calving season, you're not going to worry about pulling calves. Mom doesn't want you anywhere around her when she's calving. So those are the things that we talk about, the bison advantage. It's a profitable business, it's a low-maintenance animal, and it's a lot of fun.
I would also think an advantage, a growing advantage, is that the public is becoming more aware of the quality of bison meat.
Absolutely. For 10 years, we've been talking to the public about three things. Number one, it's incredibly nutritious meat, low in fat, high in protein, high in iron. Number two is it's an all-natural meat. It's illegal to use growth hormones in bison, and you know, we just figure that they're in the environment that they need to be in. And the third thing is the great taste. Well, people listened to us for a long time and said, I get you on that healthy and I get you on that natural thing, but I've never tasted it, and I think it's going to be tough and gamey. But once they put that first taste in their mouth and they find that it tastes a lot like beef, except maybe just a little sweeter, all of a sudden they're saying, wow, this is fantastic. Where can I find some more?
David Carter, Executive Director of the National Bison Association. He spoke with the Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Tara Oliver is with us from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Tara.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. Did farmers call in much this week after the pretty good size drop we had on Monday and a bit of a bounce yesterday, but still at a much lower level?
Yeah, I mean, still hearing the phones ring quite a bit. You know, I think more concern right now about where these markets move in the next 30 to 60 days, you know, as they start to want to core bins, if they've got stuff in the bins, or just trying to figure out, you know, when they should take advantage of some of this, you know, mid-$7 range corn and get some corn moved.
And are you telling them sooner rather than later?
I mean, certainly we've seen quite a bit of corn move here. Basis feels weaker here in the short term. So, you know, depending on what their logistical needs are, I mean, I still think the board probably has a little bit of potential left in it. And basis certainly will get stronger as we get into the deferred months and really find out how much corn is left out there.
What kind of problems are you having with the corn that's coming in at this time? Anything?
No, actually, so far in our area, we have had, you know, great quality. You know, despite everything that we went through this year, we haven't really seen any problems with the aflatoxin, which was probably the biggest concern for us. So great quality corn up here now. Certainly, as you get outside of our territory, you know, there's pockets where you'll run into some poor quality corn.
And how are the ethanol plant margins today?
Margins have certainly improved a little bit, especially with basis fading and the board dropping off. You know, margins today are looking pretty comfortable here for the short term, but, you know, there still is some question moving forward as we get out into the deferred months and with some questions about how high this basis game will go, what our margin structure will look like.
Soybean processors in the area on the hunt?
Yeah, you know, I think there is some beans that are moving. The commercials especially don't really want to hold beans through this inverse here. So we haven't heard too many people hunting around. Margins have been good for the crush side of things. So, you know, they're certainly pushing their plants if they can. So not too much hunting. Right now it feels like they're probably content.
And your bids for the day?
Cash prices tonight at Delphi are $7.45, Climbers $7.54, and cash beans at Delphi are $14.04.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tara Oliver is with the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about the weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Guacamole Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1863, Leo Baekeland was born. He was a chemist who invented Bakelite, the first plastic that did not soften when heated. The synthetic plastic was not only used for insulators, but also molded into buttons, knobs, and countless other items. The invention helped usher in the modern plastics industry. In 1889, Nellie Bly began her successful attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter, and she completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. In 1954, an unidentified flying object was reported flying over two tractors, one a diesel, the other gas-powered, in Flory, Italy. It was reported that the engine of the diesel tractor continued to operate, but the tractor with the internal combustion engine stopped and could not be restarted until the UFO vanished. In 1958, International Harvester began production of its International T-340 crawler. Based on the I-340 farm tractor, it featured tank-like treads instead of wheels. And in 1960, OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, was created. The original five-nation cartel was founded to unify and coordinate members' petroleum policies. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on the phone line with us. Drew, let's start right here in the Midwest and the transition from late fall to early winter.
Well, you know, it started to look pretty interesting with the big rain event that we had over the weekend, but we're back to ho-hum here for the next week, really. We don't have a lot of precipitation in the pipeline. Our temperatures are going to rise notably above average across the plains and parts of the western Corn Belt. Eastern areas will probably see temperatures a little bit more seasonable over the next week to 10 days, but it's certainly not going to be very winter-like. We're not going to see any major storm systems coming across the region for a while, and like I said, the temperatures will be held up quite a bit. In fact, just off to the west in hard red wheat country, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see temperatures pushing up over 80 degrees again sometime during the middle to latter part of next week.
That simply cannot be good news for the hard red winter wheat crop, which has had a tough enough time being established with the dry weather conditions out west. Hot weather now, followed by really cold conditions, could set up a really tough time.
That's right. I do think that the wheat crop out there in the plains is in trouble. You know, obviously the crop ratings from the USDA are very depressed, and they're not getting any better. And I think that you're absolutely right. As we go through this next, actually 2 to 3 weeks, I think we'll probably go without a significant storm system in that part of the country, and we will see frequent movements in temperature above and below freezing. So we will cause some drying of the soil and eventually getting us into a position where there might be a dust problem going on out there. So even though we've had some favorable moisture out there and some of this crop got established, it certainly is not moving in the right direction, and I think there's a good chance that we're going to end up with this crop conditions continuing to deteriorate until we get deeper into the winter season.
Things in South America seem to be looking a little better.
That's right. A lot of the rain that has been occurring recently has relieved some of the dryness that was occurring across the portions of Brazil and the areas that had been too wet are starting to dry down a little bit. So we're getting a good mix of weather, and the end result here is going to be highly favorable for crop development. In Argentina, they had 3 months' worth of excessive moisture that occurred August, September, and October, all much wetter than normal, and there is apparently a lot of standing water out there. Some of their key corn-producing areas are also heavy soils and are leaving a lot of this moisture standing on the ground here for a while. And some comments recently from Argentina suggest that it's going to be another 2 or 3 weeks before some of those wettest conditions are dry enough to get the farmers into the field. So a little bit more of a concern there. Even though the weather itself in Argentina has straightened out here recently, we're not going to see that turning out to be a real good situation for getting the rest of the crop in the ground until we do have another period of drier weather coming. Go.
Hey, thanks, Drew.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.